KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's cloudy and 33 degrees. We look for a chance of light drizzle or freezing drizzle this morning. Otherwise, cloudy today, a high around 40. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. The news is brought to you by Lindemann Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. In Southwest Iowa news, Fremont County Sheriff Kevin Astrup reports that on Christmas night, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office received a report about a female that was possibly soliciting customers by the truck stops on Highway 2. A short time later, an undercover deputy made contact with the female, identified as 27-year-old Latera Johnson of Omaha. During the encounter with the deputy, Johnson showed the deputy that she was in possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia, and at that time she was taken into custody without further incident. Johnson was transported to the Fremont County Law Enforcement Center and charged with possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia. Her bond was set at $2,300. Fremont County Sheriff reports also that earlier this morning, the Fremont County Sheriff's Office received a report of a theft from the Pilot Travel Center, and upon arrival, the deputy subjects had fled the scene and left the car they were operating on the side of the road after striking something and making the vehicle inoperable. A short time later, deputies located the three subjects, two of whom were juveniles. During the investigation, 18-year-old Cameron Peters of Lincoln, Nebraska, was found to be in possession of a controlled substance and drug paraphernalia. All three were transported to the law enforcement center, where Peters was being held on a $1,300 bond. The other two juveniles were cited into court and released to guardians. Well, the employees of six county jails in Iowa are being praised for going above and beyond the minimum state standards for those facilities. Delbert Longley, the chief jail inspector for the Iowa Department of Corrections, selected the six county jails as 2018 Best of the Best award winners.
I inspect 106 facilities every year, and the vast majority of them do a tremendous, tremendous job of making sure that they are doing the right things, and they never get recognized for that. And they're just kind of like the redheaded stepchild out there that nobody wants to talk about them until all of a sudden something bad happens.
The awards were recently handed out at an annual banquet held by the Iowa State Sheriffs and Deputies Association. The six jails are located in Madison, Shelby, Iowa, Sioux, Dubuque, and Marshall counties. Longley commended all six for being responsive to the needs of inmates.
They treat them with respect, and they demand respect in return. We know that the individuals that are there have been charged with something, otherwise they wouldn't be there. That doesn't mean that they should be treated as a second-class citizen.
The jails also scored high marks for cleanliness.
I don't care how new or how old of a facility you have, I don't believe there is any reason why it should be dirty. I will cite that quickly. Just don't want poor living conditions, and not only that, it's poor working conditions for staff.
Another priority for Longley is making sure the county employees keep thorough and complete records of all jail proceedings.
The documentation is what's going to keep a lot of jails out of lawsuits. If you can show what you've done, when, why you have done it, that is very, very important.
The Madison and Shelby County jails received the Best of the Best County Jail Award for small jails of those up to 25 beds. The chief jail inspector for the Iowa Department of Corrections is appraising county jail administrators who allow inmates to have limited access to cell phones for texting, calling it a positive movement. Delbert Longley estimates over half of Iowa's county jails have implemented the practice within the past couple of years.
It gives an additional communication tool that the prisoners have with their families.
According to Longley, jail inmates deserve to be treated with respect, and giving them an easy way to reach family or friends is part of that effort.
This is a public record. It can be monitored. So therefore, you know, we don't have to worry about improper language or improper communications of any sort going on with it.
Many county jail administrators across Iowa have told Longley the text program has helped to improve inmate behavior at their facilities. And Republican Senator Joni Ernst, a combat veteran, says one of her top legislative accomplishments this past year was a collaboration with one of the Senate's most liberal Democrats.
That measure in the National Defense Authorization Act to raise awareness and to treat traumatic brain injury, that was done with my colleague Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts.
The legislation directs the military to take steps to track, treat, and prevent brain injuries among soldiers. The Pentagon is now required to include information about recognizing brain injuries in its regular training sessions for soldiers.
That's one that was very important to me, and we were able to see that through fruition.
Ernst has collaborated with other Democratic senators on military matters. In 2015, for example, she and California Democrat Barbara Boxer sponsored legislation signed by President Obama that allowed female pilots from World War II to be buried at Arlington National Cemetery. In 2019, Ernst will, for the first time, be serving in a politically divided legislative branch.
It can be painted as very difficult, and in some circumstances it will be difficult, having a divided Congress with Democrats taking majority in the House of Representatives. But at the same time, there is still opportunity, and a lot of the work that I do here in the United States Senate is done in a bipartisan manner.
In August, Ernst and a Democratic senator from Delaware co-sponsored legislation designed to help military veterans get college credit for their military training. In the funeral announcements, Gene Leslie, age 80, of Atlantic, died December 15th at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Gene Leslie will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Don Weisenborn, age 89, of Sac City, died Sunday at his home. Funeral services for Don Weisenborn will be held Friday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Sac City. The Farber and Ottoman Funeral Home of Sac City is in charge of the arrangements. Dallas Strand, age 76, of Atlantic, died Saturday at Methodist Hospital in Omaha. Memorial services for Dallas Strand will be held Saturday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Atlantic. Norman Bringelson, age 92, of Atlantic, died Saturday at the Cass County Hospital. Cremation has taken place, and burial with military honors for Norman Bringelson will be held at a later date. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Eldon Ortiz, age 72, of Cumberland, died Tuesday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha. Services for Eldon Ortiz are pending at Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.